Yep. Hey guys, thanks for bearing with us here. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news, health research. Had some internet issues last second, 2 minutes before I'm about to go live. The doggone internet goes out. There's some yahoos out by the road digging up with trenchers out there, which we always love that. They decide they want to dig right when I'm doing a live show. Lest they know that I'm doing a live podcast every single day. They should be aware of that, not to dig. So I'm about to go out there and talk to them in a minute if this goes down again. But I digress. I'm back up and running, and I'm with you guys again on another solo hell show. I was on Hagman's show late last night. If you guys saw that, I hope you enjoyed it. He's live as well, as are we. And I went ahead and went over a lot of health topics yesterday. I had a really good show with him, so it was great. Back in the studio again this morning, more for live content. Pretty much come to the conclusion now and accepted the fact that I just live in the studio. This is my home. This is where I live now. Where we are. And so, again, thank you guys for the support. Thank you guys for constantly getting the health news forwarded to everybody else on the show here at healthmasters.com. And thank you again for making Health Masters your number one stop for all your supplement needs and anything you guys need. We got you. Product of the week. B-Complex. It won. You guys voted. It's on sale right now for 16% off. Let me get myself together here. Make sure you guys are staying up to date on all the health articles as well. You can click up here. We send them out every week, so you can sign up for the weekly newsletter as well at the bottom. But the articles here give you guys the ability to update information every single day. Yesterday, I talked in detail on smarter way to do caffeine, why steady beat spiked, covered that article, great article that Harrison wrote for me, and also, too, went into detail on fibromyalgia and other health topics that are going on right now that a lot of people request and ask about, and so I try to answer them on the show and give you guys some updates on them. That way, it's easier than having to copy and paste 20 different emails every single day. I'll just do a whole detailed show on it. Now you guys can forward it, and I can chop it up as well and also use it. And if you guys want to do that, if you want to edit some of our shows and turn them into like five-minute reels or stuff like that, feel free to do so. I don't mind. Let me see. All right. Yeah, we're good. Everything's live. We're hot and running. And so, yeah, welcome back to the Health Masters Report with the Austin show today. Or however which name I'm going to have it on today's show. One of the first articles I want to cover here. Let me get my data up. And this was the thing that I wanted to cover here. It says, there we go. 8 major functions of vitamin B complex. 4 groups that need them more than ever. And I want to cover this kind of in detail. But going a short, I cover B complex a lot. I've done a lot of shows on it. I'm going to cover it briefly here on the show. It talks about B-complexes, 8 water-soluble B vitamins that essentially are quickly absorbed by the intestine but excreted through the renal metabolism. So they do not build up long-term. I talk to this about all the time. The B-complex is water-soluble. You've got to continually keep B vitamins. If you're deficient in a certain B vitamin, like, for example, a lot of people that have issues with asthma, that's because of the B5, B6 deficiency. The body doesn't store up large amounts of B5, B6, so you have to continually keep it in your system to make sure it's elevated to reduce those asthmatic symptoms. Very easy fix in most cases. And now the types and functions of B vitamins here, it goes into detail in this article about thiamine with B1, riboflavin, B2, B3, B5, B6, B7, B9, B12, and essentially the 4 groups that need more B vitamins than ever is elderly. Research for 2016 noted up to 43% of older people suffer from vitamin B12 deficiency. Interestingly enough, a study published in the journal Nutrition Science and Vitaminology in 2012 found that more than 50% of surveyed old people requiring ongoing care in nursing homes suffered from vitamin B1 deficiency and multiple other vitamin B deficiencies. Pregnant women. This is a big one. Now, folate's the monster. Folate is the absolute crucial folate. Now, it needs to be methyl tetrahydrofolate, which is MTHF folate. That is the one that's bioactive and is absorbed. The one that, of course, we use in this formula here at the B Complex at healthmasters.com. And so, again, when you look at a lot of these things on here, the reason why we use the specific formulas is we want to have them that are bioactive, meaning the body doesn't really have to break them down. They can be absorbed immediately and basically taken right to where they need to go. When you take stuff like cyanocobalamin, which is a synthetic form of B12, that formula has to be converted in the liver. You have about maybe a 30% conversion rate on it. The rest of it's toxic because the cyanide basically cleaves off from the B12, and you have toxicity in the liver from a vitamin, ironically enough on that. Pregnant women, on guidelines published by the Journal of American Medical Association in 2017, pointed out that most women don't get the recommended daily vitamin B9 intake solely from their diets. B9 supplement is crucial for reproductive, as far as age, and preventing infant neural tube defects. Essentially, folate is absolutely crucial. Vegetarians, next on that list. B12 is naturally found in fruits, vegetables, or grains. Vegetarians are usually very deficient in B12. So if you're vegetarian, I'm not going to say anything. That's up to you. Make sure you're taking B-complex. That's crucial. And it says people on healthy lifestyles, excessive alcohol consumption leads to vitamin B12 deficiency almost immediately. Study confirms that up to 80% of participants with alcoholism have vitamin B1 deficiency due to decreased B1 absorption in the gastrointestinal tract and insufficient nutritional intake. Alcohol strips B vitamins from the body. That's why if you ever basically have an event or you're doing something or Christmas party, you've got to make sure you're taking the GHI Cleanse. The GHI Cleanse not only has full spectrum B-complex, it's got a whole laundry list of detoxifying formulas that help get that crud out of your body, flush the liver, detoxify it as quickly as possible, and let your body get back to homeostasis. Because generally with heavy drinking, it takes about 3 days for the body to come back to normal balance. Basically start getting the gut inflammation down, starting to get vitamins and minerals realigned back in the body, starting to build up everything. So it also strips magnesium from the body. So be very aware of that, because I know people in the past that I've talked to that have had issues with alcoholism, they start having issues with blood pressure and other problems. A lot of that is because most of the minerals in their body, potassium, manganese, magnesium, are stripped out. So make sure, if you are going to drink on a rare occasion, make sure you're taking the proper supplementation to detoxify your body and reload your body with proper nutrients and stay back on the B-complex. Now, speaking of liver health, this is an interesting topic that came up here. It says the 3 unhealthiest foods for your liver. And it goes into detail here on pretty much the average food that people eat and what are the 3 worst ones for your liver. Excuse me while I drink my purple stick here. It's been a morning, so especially after a late night last night, got to have my purple stick in the morning, stay running on top. And it goes on to detail here why your liver health matters. It says your liver keeps your hormones, your cholesterol in check as it filters toxins such as alcohol, chemicals, medications from the blood. When toxic loads exceed what the liver can handle, it accumulates excess fat in the cells. As that goes on, you start having what's called alcohol or non-alcohol fatty liver disease. They both are the same aspect. One's primarily caused by alcohol. The other one's caused not by alcohol, but other toxins. But they cause a similar effect on the liver. It becomes fatty, it becomes swollen, it becomes inflamed, and it doesn't do its job properly. It says 3 foods that burden your liver. The first one is fried takeout food. Ooh, I'm going to make some people mad with that one. It says the combination of starchy high glycemic carbs and protein commonly cooked with vegetable oil is the worst burden for your liver almost anything. These types of foods are prevalent in takeout outlets and restaurants. Even seemingly healthier options like gluten-free crispy chicken with a side of sweet potato fries will contribute to your dietary toxin load if eaten frequently. The inexpensive vegetable seed oils, than most eating out-of-home places had been refined, making them chemical bonds unstable, producing damaging fats. And a lot of times the issue with this is it like the vegetable oil, the soybean oil, the canola oil that they primarily use in the fryers at restaurants and fast food? A, it's unbelievably toxic oil. That's just flat out. B, it doesn't get basically swapped out every time they use it. It gets reused day after day after day in some cases. I used to work at Steak and Shake when I was in college. Worked there for about a year and a half. Made decent money. Ended up being so efficient, they had me running the place by the very end. I mean, the managers would leave, and I would just run Steak and Shake. I'd run full ops on it. I mean, I could do everything from top to bottom of the restaurant. And that was the thing is, we never swapped the oil out very often back then for the fryers, even back then. Now they use beef tallow. They're bragging about that now with beef tallow. I have not checked it out yet. I have not tried it yet. Hasn't been on the top of my priority list to go eat beef tallow fries. I just don't eat fries from Steak and Shake. But I will eventually get to it. And I'll eventually try it and see how they are. And I haven't talked to the shop I used to work at. I don't know how often they're swapping out the beef tallow oil. I don't know. I'm curious about that probably before I try them. But I do know every restaurant, they reuse the vegetable oil repeatedly over and over and over again. The problem with that is it builds more toxins and more carcinogens the more often it's heated and cooled down, and builds up. So it says in here, high heat cooking processes with these type of oils contain harmful contaminants. These toxins, called advanced glycation end products, are associated with increased obesity and diabetes risk, which we know. The amount of fried foods that a person's body can handle varies, although a recent study found that participants who ate fast food, 20% of their meals accumulated excessive fat in their livers. Guys, that's only 20%. That's not an insane amount for most people, yet it accumulated excessive fat in the livers. It says the location of fat accumulation in the body is particularly genetic. A large study published in January that included more than 27,000 people examined linked between food intake and abdominal obesity. People who ate the most EOH, fried foods, have the greatest increased risk of abdominal fat, even when their genetic predisposition to obesity was low. I'm going to slow down for you guys. It's been a wild morning. The second one on here, liquid sugars. I talk about it all the time. I'll cover it again. Sweet beverages, many juices, sodas, coffees, drinks, mocktails, alcoholic beverages, energy drinks represent the largest source of sugar consumption in the United States. Easy access to the types of drinks is far from benign to your health. Recent large-scale study linked regular consumption of sugar-sweetened drinks to 85% increase in developing liver cancer or mortality from chronic liver disease. I'm going to repeat that for everybody in the back that didn't just hear me. The ones way in the back that aren't listening because you're doing something else and you're working, which I get it. You're multitasking, and I like that. Right here, I'm going to read it once again. And I want you guys to look at it. I want you to read it while I say it. That way you guys really get this burn into your synaptic functioning. A research large-scale study linked regular consumption of sugar-sweetened drinks to 85% increase of developing liver cancer or mortality from chronic liver disease. That burn in now yet? Did you get that yet? Common sweeteners found in these beverages: corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup, dextrose, fructose, brown sugar, raw sugar, fruit nectars, honey maple syrups, cane sugar, malt syrups. Now, let me clarify. The ones on here says like maple syrup. That has a lot of times added high fructose corn syrup. Now, organic raw maple syrup or raw honey, like Manuka honey, that's not what that's referring to here. Manuka honey can be have medicinal purposes out the wazoo. I mean, you can heat up Manuka honey and put it on a wound. I mean, I've taken Manuka honey when I've been sick before, and it'll knock it out. Or you can make something like a hot toddy with honey and tea. That's not what it's talking about here. What it's saying is most of these common sweeteners found in beverages include high fructose corn syrup in with them. They use a lot of these names as cover. But eating organic raw syrup on pancakes occasionally, or having like raw Manuka honey, that's not what this is referring to. Just want to clarify that. 2018 meta-analysis, suggests that sucralose and fructose decrease insulin sensitivity and increase fat and liver, causing fatty liver disease. It says 2018 meta-analysis published in BMJ found an intake of excessive amounts of naturally occurring sugars, particularly fructose, from sugar-sweetened beverages had harmful effects on glycemic control, which is a precursor to chronic inflammatory disease. Ultra-processed foods, number three on the list. Seed oil dressings and mayonnaise, number three on the list for liver toxicity. Now, again, this is outside the scope of alcohol. This is the three main foods that cause the worst liver toxicity. It says ultra-processed foods are industry-produced formulations of inexpensive ingredients from high-yield crops, usually such as like canola oil or soybean oil. They are low nutrient value and low in fiber. Since the 1980s, there's been a rapid growth in ultra-processed food consumption worldwide. While polyunsaturated fatty acids from vegetable oils were once considered safe, emerging indicates otherwise. Refined seed oils contain high amounts of unstable fatty acids that break down the toxins when heated and refined. This is why French fries are so toxic for you. It's not necessarily that an ultra-glycemic potato deep fried in oil is necessarily ever a good thing. Let's be real. It's the fact that they're using seed oils, which then when those seed oils are heated, they produce enormous amounts basically of toxins. And then when they're reheated and reheated and reheated, it gets even worse. It says most commercial sauces and dips are high in unhealthy PUFAs, which are essentially common examples like sunflower, canola oil, and soybean oil, the most common ones. They're usually simply labeled vegetable oil or hydrogenated oil. Research suggests these refined seed oils alter liver function, increasing the body's sugar requirements and driving appetite toward refined flour and sugar. So not only do they mess with your liver, not only are they toxic to your body, they actually increase your body's desire to eat more refined carbs and sugar, and they actually cause your body to actually have impaired aspects of functioning and breaking down these sugars and also the oil. So it's a double-edged sword. And in contrast, olive oil, avocado oil, coconut oil, palm oil, and other healthy fat oils like butter, raw organic butter, are much more stable. Since we do not think we have to make everything from scratch at home, but a smaller range of healthier commercial sauces and dips made using avocado oil or olive oil are also starting to be made available. I talked about it the other day where I found that ranch. It was pretty good. And I used to love ranch when I was younger, but I found that they're all soybean oil, and they all have MSG in them, monosodium glutamate, which is unbelievably addictive, which causes you to want more. So you put more ranch on your food, and you get more toxins in. And on top of that as well, you're eating globs of soybean oil. Like, why? Why do you want to put soybean oil? In my opinion, soybean oil is probably the worst processed oil you put in your body. Because not only is it GMO, not only is it contaminated with glyphosate, not only is it liver toxic, it's also derived from soybeans. So on top of that, you're getting essentially, you know, this soy added to it on top of everything to make it even worse. You're getting phytoestrogens. I mean, it's just the oil that just keeps on giving toxins as long as it goes. So stay away from that one. So another way to make easy swaps to support your liver is you start with choosing meals or snacks made with healthier cooking methods, steaming, stir frying, or grilling. And that's why the detox support on here with the liver detox, I've also told everybody, this is why it's so important to make sure if you're eating junk foods, if you're drinking any time for an event, make sure you're taking the Detox Made Simple kit. Because that kit is designed to basically use powerful ingredients like the N-acetylcysteine and also the milk thistle extract to detox the body, boost liver function, and restore energy balance on here. And so that's one of the reasons why I have this formula together. That's why it works so well. And that's why I continually encourage people, make sure you keep this stack on deck in the event you need it for something, or take it on a regular basis, which I also recommend because it promotes glutathione production for powerful antioxidant protection. Because remember this, even though you may not know it, your body is getting exposed to a lot of these toxins, especially if you don't have a very clean diet, meaning you need to be being proactive on what you're giving your body to at least give it the raw ingredients to try to detox the best it possibly can. Because at the end of the day, if it is to be, it's up to you. Nobody's going to do it for you. You've got to be proactive and make those choices on your own. So, three things to stay away from. There you go. Also, there's another one I'm going to get into in a second. Seven common foods that may accelerate brain age. And I'm going to get to this here in a second. I'm drinking some water here. I'm going to pull this down, let you guys read this for a second here. And I'm going to get into it. The first one here, sugary foods and drinks. Imagine that. It says, high sugar foods and drinks cause a quick spike and crash in blood glucose, which hurts attention, focus, learning, and memory. Meta-analysis and nutrients reviewed 77 studies with more than 17,000 participants to see how sugar influences cognition. I can't get into how much. You guys know chronic inflammation caused by eating too much sugar over time causes harm to the central nervous system. And on top of that, it causes a lot of issues, increasing issues like Parkinson's disease, type of neuroinflammation uniquely and negatively affects brain function linked to neurodegenerative disorders. Number two on the list, refined carbohydrates. While carbohydrates provide essential energy, the type and quality of carbs you eat matter for long-term health. Unlike complex carbs, which are found in stuff like sweet potatoes, energy release is slow. Unlike white bread, pastries, and cereals, essentially these refined carbohydrates are simple chains of glucose the body breaks down very quickly, so the brain experiences almost like liquid sugar. So if someone eats cereal, white bread, crackers, and baked goods all day, their brain is in the same biochemical environment as someone drinking sugar-sweetened beverages all day, even if you never added a spoonful of sugar to your drink or meal. This is why I tell you guys, it's not just about the drinks. The drinks are huge. The drinks are a giant factor. But the drinks at the end of the day are not all of it. When you're eating these ultra-fine foods, that's why I said earlier, what I say, ultra-processed French fries, white potatoes, which are unbelievably high glycemic, meaning they turn to sugar rapidly, then you deep fat fry them, and soybean oil that's been used over and over again, you're eating one of the most toxic compounds known to man, with high glycemic turning to sugar most rapidly, along with a super high carcinogenic oil base. That is why I tell you stay away from fried foods at all costs, unless you're going to be cooking them yourself, or if you actually know what you're eating, what kind of oil you're eating. Except with beef tallow, and again, I'm not promoting Steak and Shake with beef tallow. What I'm saying is, to my research so far, that is a much better oil if you're going to fry something with. But in general, fried foods have almost no positive utility factor from a health and nutrition standpoint. Me, over the years, especially in my 20s, especially when I was really heavy in bodybuilding, I reached the point to where I didn't eat something unless it had a productive purpose. Ever. Now, again, sometimes you got to enjoy stuff. I get it. That's a very, very basic life after a while, and it gets kind of boring. But if it didn't have a purpose, didn't have a reason, didn't have a specific design for it, I wasn't going to eat it. And quite frankly, that's still how I am now in most cases, about 80 to 90% of the time. You know, organic rice, organic chicken with some vegetables, that's a good meal for me that I eat almost all day, multiple times a day. I change up different things, different dinner, different breakfasts. Well, actually, I take that back. Breakfast is usually a shake and four eggs. That doesn't really change much either, so I can't say much about that. But what it does is it keeps consistency. Consistency and discipline are two key factors in maintaining overall health, maintaining healthy body fat, maintaining strength. When you stay consistent, your body is able to stay in homeostasis. You get a designed or dialed-in spectrum that you're in. Your body knows what it's doing. It knows what to expect. You're getting X amount of nutrients. You're taking B-complex every day. So the body starts functioning more and more effectively, more and more faster. And it's like the example if you have a car. If you get a car and you have it tuned on 93 octane, it's used to run on 93 octane. Now, if you put 87 octane in it, it doesn't run so well. This is why you start putting cars, you start running them on E85. You start tuning them on 100 octane. They got to have 100 octane. You put 87 in a car that's tuned for 100 octane, it runs really bad, and it starts detuning really quickly. The same thing goes with your body. The cleaner you get, the better you eat, the more you dial in, the more supplements you take, your body starts running really doggone good. I mean, it's efficient. It's firing on all 12 cylinders. Everything's lit up the whole time. It's running perfect. Well, then you throw in a whole glob of toxins. You go, oh, my God. Gosh, I feel bad. I got brain fog, my energy dropped, my mental acuities dropped down, and you realize how good you felt based on how bad it just made you feel. That's why the cleaner you eat, the better you feel. You'll notice it's kind of addictive feeling good. You don't want to eat the crap because you know it doesn't have a useful purpose in the body. Anyways, I digress. Number three on this list, artificial sweeteners. Talked about them all the time. Low-calorie sweeteners, such as basically sucralose, which is a Splenda, is also a chlorocarbon. Aspartame, also toxic. They found artificial sweeteners create a different mismatch in the brain, how it sorts out, cause all types of problems in the brain, long-term reward pathways, appetites, cravings, and even preference for intensely sweet food. He noted about 90% of the body's serotonin is produced in the gut, meaning disruption of the gut microbe can increase anxiety and depression symptoms. Research shows that if gut microbe is disrupted, it allows toxins to build up and cognitive function declines. 5-HTP is a product that is absolutely crucial if you're trying to maintain overall mental health while you're burning body fat. Here's why. As it just says here, 90% of the serotonin your body produces in the gut. When you start cutting your calories back, so if you're trying to lose 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds, whatever your goal is, you start cutting back all those refined carbs, you cut them out. You cut out all the sugar. You cut all the processed food. You start eating chicken, vegetables. Your body starts craving sugar. It goes into full detox mode for about a week or so. I've heard it, seen it, watched it. It happens. And what happens is the body starts craving that stuff. So it's really crucial you keep your B vitamins up for your serotonin production and also the 5-HTP to make sure you keep the serotonin production at peak value so you don't start getting down and start craving more food and go back to those old food rituals that you did with eating, you know, a gallon of ice cream or a pint of ice cream every single night before bed, or eating chips while you're watching a movie at night, or dipping your fruit, you know, your basically high-fat chips in your ranch dressing with monosodium glutamate. That's addictive, guys, and your body will crave it. It becomes addicted to it just like any other drug because that's how these foods are designed. Number four on the list, drinking alcohol. It's not any news that drinks are not good for the brain. It says the UK used detailed brain imaging and found that even small amounts of alcohol, just 1 to 2 drinks a day, was linked to lower overall brain volume, reduced gray matter in several regions, and weaker whiter matter connections. Changes associated with aging and cognitive decline. All parts of the brain are vulnerable to alcohol because of how it affects mitochondrial function. That's why you feel horrible the next day after you drink. You poison your body. Get the stuff out of your body. Run the formula with the detox kit. That's why I say this all the time. Whether it's ultra-processed foods, whether basically it's alcohol, whether it's some other toxin, make sure you're running the detox kit made simple and getting those toxins back out of your body as quickly as possible so, again, your body can get to homeostasis. Next one on here, margarine, processed vegetable oils. I just covered that earlier on it. Horrible for the brain, horrible for the body. Processed red meats. This is hot dogs, bacon, sausage, pepperoni. This stuff's loaded with sodium nitrite. It's also unbelievably bad for the gut. Cause all types of issues in the digestive tract, including basically colon cancer, digestive issues, inflammation in the gut. We talked about it before. Pork is now classified as a type 1 carcinogen. Same category as tobacco. It's unbelievably hard on the body. Just stay away from processed pork products. It says ultra-high sodium foods. That's number 7 on the list. This is not talking about Redmond salt. This isn't talking about high-quality salt. This is talking about high doses of pure sodium that damage tiny blood vessels, leading to reduced blood flow across different brain regions. This is why your body needs sodium. It needs potassium. It needs magnesium. But it's designed to have an adequate mineral balance. When you're just taking straight sodium chloride and high doses of bleached table salt, it is not good for the body. It can mess up blood pressure. It can cause a host of other health problems. But that's why you got to make sure you're having a full-spectrum salt, like the Redmond salt that's mined from 5,000 feet down. That's when you look at the bag of the salt, it's not sodium chloride. It's got a whole host of other minerals that are in it, the way salt was designed to be. When back in the day, nobody had bleached sodium chloride with fluoride and all kinds of other crap added to it. They didn't do that. It was raw salt they pull out of the ground. They have a big salt crystal. They shave it off on their food. It was designed to be used in a full spectrum, not by itself isolated. So, that being said, let me see what I got here for you guys. guys. This is the next article I was going to cover here. Yes. The 2,000 calorie meal plan for the 2025 dietary guidelines. The new pyramid that we put together. For the first time, the food pyramid's changed. And we actually have some pretty good recommendations on it. I'm going to scroll down here. Let's see here. It goes into detail here. I'm going to cover it here in a second as far as we're going to go on. It says you can enjoy grass-fed beef, whole fat Greek yogurt, and dark chocolate all in the same day with following the 2025 dietary guidelines for Americans. 2025 to 2030 dietary guidelines made headlines by turning the original 1992 food pyramid that told you to have 12 servings of bread every day upside down, placing protein-rich foods and whole fats at the top. It says saturated fats. This goes into coconut oil, butter, beef tallow. I have no idea why in the world they have lard pork fat on here. I fully disagree with that one. That is one of the oldest, worst fats you can use for absolutely no legitimate reason at all. Not when you have beef tallow and avocado oil and butter now. Oh, this shows you the spectrum that they're on. It talks about eating high-quality fats, high-quality proteins, and essentially looking at it, it says prioritize a sirloin over ribeye, skinless over skin on poultry. A 6-ounce sirloin has roughly 6 grams of saturated fat, leaving you 16 grams for the rest of your day. And so there's different aspects on here in a simple daily meal. And I can't disagree with some of these. Some of these, I'm like, you can kind of switch up. But like right here, breakfast, 2 eggs with a cup of spinach, sauteed in a teaspoon of olive oil. That's pretty doggone good. I would substitute that for avocado oil if I was going to do that. I don't like to cook that much with olive oil. Is it doesn't have a high heat temp. Not that I'm cooking my eggs very hot. I usually slow cook them anyways because I don't like to overcook them. Says 1 glass of whole fat milk. I would say only time I'd be drinking milk, the only time I will touch milk is if I'm basically drinking organic raw milk that I get from my farm down in South Florida. That's it. I will not drink homogenized or ultra-pasteurized milk. Again, that's me. Everybody's got their own preference. I've done an entire show one time on ultra-pasteurized and what they're doing now with the ultra-pasteurization and how bad it is for the milk, and essentially it's not even milk anymore. Lunch, I don't agree with this meal at all. It says 4 ounces of firm tofu. I don't know who put this together. I read some of it earlier, and this is why I'm telling you guys as far as my preference on it. I don't touch tofu as a soybean derivative. That's one of the stupidest proteins you can possibly eat. I really don't understand why it's ever even promoted anymore. I mean, there's no useful purpose to tofu except you just want to get phytoestrogens and you're a guy, you want to decrease your testosterone and you want to get gyno. That's it. That's the reason you want soy. Remember, testosterone and estrogen are antagonistic, meaning if estrogen goes up in the male body, testosterone automatically is suppressed down. Vice versa, if testosterone goes up pretty high, as long as you get a high conversion rate, it keeps estrogen at bay. This is why when I tell my guys to take the Testo Plus, or the Tribulus, or the Tongkat Alley, and really push your testosterone levels to the roof, which everybody loves, make sure you're taking the DIM estrogen control if there's any testosterone conversion into estrogen. The DIM helps metabolize estrogen in the body and keep male estrogen at a very good, healthy, low level. Men only need a small amount of estrogen in the body, and that's primarily for joint health. The estrogen gets too low, joints start getting a little rough and dry, and basically they're not as comfortable. So you need that little tiny bit in there, but not a lot at all. Too much, it always has the side effects of basically acting and thinking like a woman. And that's not the business that guys need to be in if you're trying to maintain overall strength, low body fat, and top mental acuity. Guys don't need a lot of estrogen. So tofu, scratch that one. On here, I would put 4 ounces or 5 ounces of chicken breast. Done. Click. Easy fix. Snack on here says 1 ounce of almonds. Fine. Snack 2, 3/4 cup whole fat Greek yogurt. I wouldn't run that. I like whole fat Greek yogurt if it's organic, if I occasionally eat it. But my personal preference is just for me on snack 2. I'll run the New Zealand Whey Fit protein. And that's not me plugging a product. That's what I drink every single day. You guys know I don't have to make this stuff up. I drink it on the show with you guys every single day. And if you're ever around me in person, you guys know I run this stuff all the time. Can's empty anyways. Anyways, I'm in a mood today. So Fit Food Protein for that second snack, best option. Dinner, top sirloin steak. Can't disagree with that one. I love me a good steak. Side dish, a couple rusted Brussels sprouts. Actually, not bad. I like Brussels sprouts. You can do green beans. You can do asparagus. You can do roasted vegetables. Whatever you want to do on that is pretty good. It says one cup of cooked quinoa. Quinoa is actually pretty good for you. I prefer organic brown rice, but I do eat some quinoa sometimes. It's just not my preference, but it's actually pretty good for you. It says a treat at night, a half ounce of dark chocolate, 85%, one small apple. That's not an issue at all. However, I wouldn't recommend a late night treat with dark chocolate. A lot of times it can be really high in caffeine, and it can keep you up if you're late at night. Personally, one small apple with some organic almond butter, that is a treat, and that is a clean diet right there. So overall, I just had to fix the basically tofu on here, but I want to kind of throw in a general basis of what a healthy diet can look through the day. And again, you don't have to make it boring. I'm used to making it boring, so I have to keep that in mind for everybody. But this is actually a pretty versatile meal throughout the day. Like I said, minus the tofu, and keeps you pretty much in a good range with protein and fiber. Now, they only have 95 grams of fiber on this one. Of course, you could bump that up, adding a little bit more beef, a little bit more eggs, a little bit more protein with protein shakes and all that. You can do all that on there. So again, it's up to your preference and what your overall goals are. And so that's why I wanted to add that on here today on the 2,000 calorie meal plan menu. This is their guideline. Again, you can change it as you need it, but that is a good basis to start with somewhere around there if you're not sure where you want to go. And at the end of the day, as I said, the least amount of ingredients in it, the better. If you're looking in the back of the ingredients, nutritional facts on it, and you got a paragraph that goes down the packaging this long, just put it back. You really want to put that in your body? The answer is no. There's enough toxins you're going to get exposed to on a regular basis. Why put that in knowingly? That's just my personal preference on it. So again, that's my topic for a lot of health articles today. And I'm going to switch gears in another topic here that kind of covers a similar basis, but it goes into detail now, the AI. You know, last night I had a friend call me, really big in AI tech industry, big, very smart. I mean, brilliant area. And we were discussing the issues with AI and what's been going on with it. And it's the same topic that I've said. I said, where's the ROI with this platform? I said, there's trillions of dollars in aggregate globally, hundreds of billions in the United States being put into AI, but where's the return? You know, sure, we can do direct marketing, we can do data gathering, we can do all this stuff, we can do, you know, as far as trying to predictive program, we use Palantir. Yes, 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 I get all the spooky stuff they're doing. It still doesn't cash flow. That's what he said, because it still doesn't cash flow. It doesn't make any money, not to the degree to cover its own expense, much less yield a profit. And he goes, what's going on now is he's saying it's almost like they're using AI for the simple basis of long-term manipulation and control, which is what I said. And, you know, right now when AI puts something out that's fake, most people can spot it. You know, all of us old folks now, I guess they're pushing into our 40s, they were born in the 80s, we can kind of spot that stuff now. We're in the spectrum where we've seen everything from VHS tapes to DVDs and CDs, and how the entire internet has changed over the past 40 years. Well, AI, you got to think now, this younger generation, they're growing up with AI. They don't know any different. Their entire basis of what they're learning, their skill set, their schooling, and everything is being based on AI almost. I mean, there's kids in college that use it for all their work now, which I don't agree with. And now they're saying that AI is frequently providing wrong health advice. OpenAI released ChatGPT Health now, because that's what we need. We need AI controlling the health information that people get. And it talks about now that the issues they're having is it's putting out a bunch of false information. And what I'm going to say here that basically 53.6% on average of the information was only correct. That's half. At least half the stuff they're putting out is fake news. Well, here's the problem. right now it's easy to pick up. You say, yeah, this is fake, this is fake, this is bad news. What happens in 10 years, guys, when the younger generation doesn't know anything, how to do research? They don't even know what a freaking encyclopedia is in person. They don't even know how to open it up. They look at it, they're like, what is this, hieroglyphics? They don't even know. They're going to use AI for everything. And if AI slowly changes people's perception of things by slowly changing the truth, what does that happen for long-term longevity with truth and real things that are happening? The AI starts building its own reality that everybody else starts living in. And the reality is a falsehood. It's not real. For example, I said this on the Hagman Show last night. I said, if you talk to any child now, teenager, if you ask them, just ask, I've done this multiple times, just ask them, what was the Civil War based on?
It was based on the South not wanting to get rid of slaves, so the North liberated them.
What?
Yeah.
That's not even remotely what the Southern, what the Civil War is even remotely about. Not even close. Not even a remnant. The South was the breadbasket of the United States. It was producing almost everything the North needed. The North can't function on its own. It increased taxes exponentially on the South. It continued to levy more taxes on more taxes on more taxes to increase their expenditures to build their infrastructure in the North. The South finally said, piss on it, excuse my vernacular. We're done. We're not paying any more levies. We're not paying more tariffs. We're not paying more taxes. We're done. And then things started to escalate. The slavery was only a minute portion of the Civil War basis, if you actually read real history books. But you talk to a high schooler, you think completely different. That's because they've slowly changed the narrative. Just like now, World War II. World War II is just a footnote to the Holocaust. It is what it is. You can say what you want about it. I don't care your opinion. It's a fact. You bring up anything now to young kids in high school about World War II, they go, Nazis, Holocaust. That's it. They don't know any other basis of what that war is even about, what happened, the continual of it, how it was, how it perpetuated after World War I. None of it. Why? Because that's what they want the younger generation to know. They've continued to manipulate the young minds and the hearts and minds of these young children to continue. Now they're doing it with AI. Now they're doing it with health AI. So be very cautious, and I see this as a heat of warning to adults and parents. Be very cautious what your kids are learning. If they're not learning all the truth, it is your responsibility to teach them history. Because those of us that simply don't read history, that don't know history, are destined to repeat history. It's cyclical. It's the same thing, guys. And this is one of the reasons why they're doing everything they can with the younger generation to subvert their culture, to keep them hooked on the stupidest, most TikTok videos I've ever witnessed in my life. I mean, you look back at kids from the 80s and 90s in my generation, and I mean, all we did was ride bikes, build tree forts, get in fights, swim in the lake. I mean, it was nonsense. It was great. It was complete fun in the 90s. Now, I look at kids that my age, teenage years, and they're on TikTok, dancing like queers, acting like the most buffoon individuals I've ever witnessed in my life. I can make a TikTok video that gets a million views. And you look like an idiot. Your children will never respect you. Your wife will never respect you. Nobody in society will ever respect you. You look like a buffoon. But yeah, keep it up. Because, you know, they told us Goyim and all the emails that we just need to keep going on with what we're doing. You know, they use that term, what, 70 times? Epstein file emails? Goyim, Goya, Goya. They don't like us. They don't care about us. They don't want anything to do with us. All they want to do is rape and pillage the United States. And when I say they, I mean the banker boys that love to breathe free air that are running our country from a little Middle Eastern country over on the other side of the world. They want everybody to stay distracted. They want everybody to keep reading fake news. They want everybody to keep having fake information. This is why they're producing the AI with all this data. They want to continue the legacy of continually dumbing down the American population. And the easiest way to do so is through AI, ChatGPT, and all these other platforms that they're doing to manipulate. So once again, use your own brain. You got a brain, use it. Have deductive reasoning. Use cognitive functioning. If it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense for a reason. It's there. Keep it running good. Stay on the big complex. Hammer the attention factor if you guys like it or need it. I've had a couple of those this morning, as you guys, I'm sure, are well aware now by this show. And so at some point in time, you got to take a step back and say, am I going to keep listening to this nonsense, or am I going to rebuttal it? There's a reason why they keep telling everybody, you can't say this now. You can't say this. You can't say this. This is hate speech. Let me say something about this. Free speech is the basis of the United States. Now, currently, there are limitations on certain things. You can't run around and start making threats of great bodily injury or death to an individual. That's illegal. Always has been, always will be. However, questioning something, criticizing something, disagreeing with something is the very basis of what the First Amendment is on. If I don't like something somebody's doing, I have every bit to say, I don't like that. That irritates me. That bothers me. I don't like that behavior. I'm not getting involved with it. I'm not going to support it. What they've done now is they've used that concept of criticism or disagreement, and they've tried to couple that in to hate speech. Well, guess what? Hate speech is still in the First Amendment. If I hate something, that is still my right to hate something. The only time it crossed the limit is when you start making viable threats towards another human being or other group, and you start saying, I'm going to kill you. That's not good. I got it. However, most of the stuff that's happening now on social media and other platforms, that's not occurring. People are simply disagreeing with certain behavior. Certain behavior from certain Middle Eastern countries that like to genocide other countries without any type of reprisal. I don't like it. Oh, that's anti-Semitic. No, that's just me saying I don't like something. I don't care what your opinion is. I don't like it. I have every right not to like it. Don't let people tell you you can't voice your opinion. Don't let anybody tell you you're not allowed to speak your mind on the truth, because the truth will set you free. And it's very clear. John chapter 8, Jesus is talking to the synagogue of Satan, the Pharisees, the Jews that follow Lucifer. And he clearly says, your father is not Abraham. It is the devil. It is a father of lies. And when you speak his native tongue, lies. What they want to do is lie and continue to confuse the population. That's what Lucifer does. That's what his agenda is. So when you find something to be the truth, when it's based on values, when it's based on literature, when it's based on data, when it's based on the basically the word of God, and somebody says, you can't say that, that's hate speech. No, my friend, that's free speech. And you better exercise that right, my friends, because the more we continue to self-censor, the more they're going to push this crap and they're going to shove it down our throats with AI, and that's the next phase of it. All right, I digress before I start getting down a rabbit hole in this show right here. This is interesting. Positive note. Good note. FDA actually did something productive with their lives. Moderna is shocked after the FDA scuttles review of new RNA flu vaccine. Oh, yeah. FDA kicked it back. The FDA last week notified Moderna that the agency would not review its application for the new RNA flu vaccine, citing the company's failure to perform an adequate and well-controlled clinical trial. Imagine that. Experts suggest that the FDA may be signaling skepticism of RNA vaccines in general. And that was starting to happen here, and this is what I've concluded from my research and talked to a few people. The FDA is starting to start going along the lines of RFK Jr., some of them. Because they're looking at stuff and they're going, this RNA gene therapy is not what we thought it was. And I do believe that some people in the FDA do have good intentions. I think some of them have been brainwashed. And I think a lot of them were told what to do and what to vote on based on the pharmaceutical company's Operation Warp Speed to get this shot through with RNA gene therapy. However, we've had 5-6 years of data now on this RNA gene therapy. It ain't good. You know, it don't take a rocket scientist to figure out how bad this stuff is for the body. It says the FDA cited failure to perform an adequate and well-controlled clinical trial and to use the best available standard of care during the trial process. Now, let me clarify this. This is not new. The reason why Moderna is doing what they're doing is because this is their standard protocol. This is what Pfizer did as well. They do these manipulated clinical trials. They give somebody an injection in the placebo group, they get an injection of high-dosed aluminum adjuvant, and then they compare the vaccine to that placebo group that's getting a high-dosed aluminum adjuvant. Well, when you run the numbers on it, there's no clinical relevancy. They're saying, oh, the side effects were the same in both groups. Well, yeah, no, duh. The placebo group got 350 micrograms of aluminum adjuvant in the placebo. It's supposed to get saline. They get aluminum. Well, of course they're going to have an adverse event. So they give the vaccine, there's adverse events. They look at them, they compare them and go, there's not any significance here. There's no clinical significance. We're done. It's safe. Good to go. Well, the FDA called their bluff on it now, and they filed on February 3rd. They put a refuse to file letter. Look at this. Signed by Dr. Vinay Prasad, director of the agency's Center for Biological Evaluation and Research, which oversees vaccines. The decision follows the FDA's adoption of stricter approaches down to approved vaccines. Prasad's move to not even consider Moderna's application, filed in December 2025, signals a new aggressive phase to regulate drugs and force drug makers to perform more rigorous studies. About time. I mean, what's the FDA been doing for the last three decades? I don't know, sitting around playing chess with their buddies? You're approved, you're approved, you're approved. The FDA's reminded me of one of those, like, buy here, pay here lot commercials, those cheesy commercials. Where you got a guy in like a cowboy hat and he's like, everybody's approved here. Bad credit, no credit. It's like there's run around the approval stamp. Oh, you got a drug approved, vaccine approved, they're approved. Here, B-Complex, you're approved. Everybody's approved. And so FDA finally now, and I think it's the pressure from RF Kennedy Jr. I think he's finally come in now and said, listen, this is stupid. You can't just rubber stamp everything. There has to be some real clinical trials. Remember, the HPV vaccine, the only reason that shot ever got approval, Gardasil, which is unbelievably toxic for young girls. Guillain-Barre syndrome has been through the roof. Do that. That's why Japan halted that shot. Now won't even allow it to go. They tested it against aluminum adjuvant, just like I said earlier. The placebo group got aluminum adjuvants. Well, that's not a real trial. That's not a true placebo. That's like saying, oh, we're testing this food out, and the placebo group also gets food, but we put cyanide in it. So they get a ton of side effects too, and this other toxic food has a ton of side effects. So there's no difference in the side effects, so it's safe. That's how they manipulate it. So again, glad to see the FDA actually doing something for once. Hopefully this becomes the norm. That might be complex over. Hopefully this becomes the norm, and I think I got a couple in here. This is the desiccant, so it doesn't build up as far as in there, and it keeps it drier. I got bamboozled. I was going to take a B-complex on air. Anyways, the problems I have found, what we do is in here, because I don't like to keep inventory in the studio, we keep using products, personal usage, and then we restock them. So you're probably about half of these acai's are full. I think most of them are empty, though. But half of them are full. So again, that's why a lot of times I'll start talking about stuff and I'll cover it, and then I want to take it, and then there's nothing in it. Like the creatine, I tried to take the creatine the other day and it's empty as well, so I got to bring a new one in here. Anyways, I digress. I start going off on a side note with this. Also, too, this is another article that's talking about a food additive kick today. Children face higher food additive burdens than adults. I actually talked about this with Ted on Monday. It says children receive a higher additive load from the same food adults eat, which places more strain on their developing system tied to growth, metabolism, brain function. New and improved food formulations often replace one additive with another instead of reducing overall exposure. And you got to remember, it also comes down to body weight. If I'm 200 pounds and I go to food that's got X additive in it, my body's going to metabolize it pretty quickly, right? And compared to body weight. Well, if my two-year-old Stetson goes and eats the same food, exact same food or same bowl of cereal, well, he's only 2 years old. He's like 30 pounds. So his body's reaction to it is going to be significantly different because he's getting the same amount of toxin or additive loaded in his body, yet his organs are much smaller. They're not as developed. And the amount of additive per body weight, per kilo of body weight, is significant. significantly higher. That's when you see the trials with the mouse. They go X amount of milligrams of this per kilo. It's based on body weight. And it says here, it says most people are exposed to multiple food additives every day because they're built in common packaged foods. Already covered that. Children receive a higher additive load from the same food. Food additives are consumed as mixtures that stack across meals. New and improved food formulations often replace one additive with another. Shifting daily eating patterns towards whole foods and simpler ingredients lists lower additive exposure without constant label checking. This is why if you're getting food for kids, you've got to read the labels on them. Don't read the front box. Because the front box will say, farm to fresh, all natural, whole grains. And you look at the back and it's like, high fructose corn syrup, monosodium glutamate, polyasorbate 80. They don't have to follow anything that's on the front label. All that's theater. It's all marketing for packaging in most cases. There's no legitimacy to that. There's not any requirement from a legal standpoint. It says especially important for children whose bodies process food differently and experience a higher load from the same portion adults eat to really question and look at all the food they're eating. It says children and adults show higher consistent exposure. Average adult consumes an average about 4.4 grams of food additives per day, while children consume 5.1 grams per day. Now, that's just based on the grammage of food additives. That's not based on grammage per kilo of body weight. So they're showing here because a lot of the children's food is so full of additives, they're actually getting more additives than adults. It says because children weigh less, like I just said, their intake per kilo of body weight was roughly double that of adults, a detail that directly affects how much stress these compounds place on the developing system. This is why children are so susceptible to high fructose corn syrup and food coloring, my friends. Listen to me for a second. When you're letting your kids eat this junk food, even if it's on a rare basis, it has toxic effects on their body almost immediately because of their body weight and based on the other foods they're exposed to. If your kids gets exposed to something on an irregular basis, it's not that big of a deal. However, do your best to keep it out of the house. I can't stress that enough. Don't buy it and bring it home. Easiest thing to do. I've said this for years. It's always been kind of a rule at my house. If we're going to have an event, if we have a birthday or something, and we're bringing organic ice cream, that's okay. But I don't like ice cream in the house on a regular basis. Why? Because I love ice cream. I'll sit there and eat a giant bowl of it with organic hot fudge and whipped cream all over it. Not going to lie. Got no halo to adjust. If it's in the house, I'm probably going to eat it. So it's easier to just keep it out of the house, utilize it or enjoy it on a rare occasion, and not bring it home. Because at the end of the day, you have to buy the food. It's going on your card or you're paying cash with it. Somebody's picking it up. Your food doesn't just show up from a stork at the front door and say, here's your bag of food from Publix free every day. It don't happen. Kind of be nice if it did that. Be nice. It'd be a lot cheaper if it showed up for free. But it doesn't. You're paying for it. So if you want to make a difference, people ask me this question all the time. What can I do? Stop buying the food. Make the change today. Take the right supplements. Grab them, the chewable children's multiple. Get them on the right supplements. Cut out some of the food. Phase the food out. If you got it in your house, you've already paid for it, you don't want to throw it away, okay, got it. Everybody's on a budget right now with food. I get it. Food's expensive. Phase it out. Start phasing things in immediately and get right supplements in, and you'll be shocked at how much better everybody feels. We don't have to lead the world with children's heart disease and diabetes and cancer and all these problems that are happening now at very young ages. I mean, when children are coming down to single-digit age with prediabetes, guys, you need to address what's going on in their food diet. So thank you for the support, my friends. Get the truth out there every single day. Make sure you're going on and staying up to date with Health Masters. Grab the B-Complex if you want. Grab the Purple Sticks if you want. Grab some Purple Sticks. I got a bunch of them in here. Yeehaw. All right, I found a box. If you want some Purple Sticks, grab them. Stay off the high fructose corn syrup. Stay off the doggone, Red Bull, the Monster, all those toxic energy drinks. Don't put them in your body. If you need them, this is what we made this stuff for. Because I used to love energy drinks when I was in my 20s. I don't drink them anymore because they're so horrible for you. Run the Purple Sticks if you need them. We got tons of them in stock. Check out all the products. B-Complex on sale product of the week. I'm on one today, so I'm going to go get some more stuff done at the office and just wreak havoc on everybody. So you guys have a fantastic day. Have an awesome night. Stay strong. Stay healthy. I'll be back on this show tomorrow with you guys, as always, at healthmasters.com on The Brewer Show. Have a good evening, my friends.